Chapter 13. 2 weeks later, Lan Wangji and Wei Wuxian headed to Cloud Recesses. Lan Wangji had not been there since a month before the crowd hunt, and he wanted to check in. Lan Qichen wanted to go over the details of the wedding with them. Jiang Yanli accompanied them, since she had been helping with the planning. To keep her from feeling like a third wheel the whole time, Wei Wuxian asked Wen Ying if he wanted to tag along as well, and he happily accepted. Lan Qichen greeted them enthusiastically and immediately swept them up into wedding planning. For most of the day, all Wei Wuxian could think about was the fact that this was actually happening, that Lan Wangji was actually going to marry him in front of people and mean it. "So Jiang Gunyang has provided me with a list of all the sect leaders in Yunmeng, and of course all the great sect leaders will be invited with a small party." Lan Qichen was leafing through some papers. "I mean, obviously you and Jiang Cheng are going to be there, and I think Chi Fengtun likes us enough to show up," Wei Wuxian said. "But are we really expecting Jing Zongju to come? Our sects haven't really been getting along lately, in case you haven't noticed." He chewed on his lower lip and said, "I hate the fact that we didn't hear anything from him after I took the amulet back. Shouldn't he have, you know, been mad?"
"Oh, he was furious," Ayao said.
Lan Qichen said, putting the scroll down.
"But the problem is, he can't fathom how it was accomplished. He's afraid that if he accuses you of taking it, and it wasn't actually you, he'll only inform you that he no longer has it. He's been keeping that quiet."
"I'd ask how you knew, but..." Wei Wuxian shook his head. "No offense, Zhuojun, but I'm not a big fan of Jing Guangyao after the stunt he pulled in Yunmeng." Lan Qichen winced.
"Yes, he was sorry about that. He was afraid that things were going to spiral out of control, and thought that the amulet was a more fair price to pay than whatever punishment Jing Zongju would decide on."
"Oh boy," Wei Wuxian thought, feeling Lan Wangji tense beside him. "I mean, I'm not questioning what you said about your brother, but are you entirely sure he's not in love with Jing Guangyao? Because, you know, he sure sounds like it." Lan Wangji said nothing, so Wei Wuxian hesitantly said, "I mean, Jiang Cheng had things pretty well under control until Jing Guangyao started speaking up. He made it pretty clear that I wasn't going to be punished for defending myself."
"That doesn't rule out retaliation from the Jin clan," Lan Qichen pointed out. He smiled and said, "I know politics are more complicated than either of us would prefer. Trust me, I'm sure Ayao made the best choice he could in that moment."
"I mean..." Wei Wuxian stole a sideways glance at Lan Wangji, who studiously did not look at him, focusing his thoughts on pouring the tea to keep from becoming caught up in his own frustration.
"Poor Ayao actually wound up in quite a bit of trouble over that whole thing,"
Lan Qichen added, nodding in thanks as he took the cup from his brother. "What? Why this time?" Wei Wuxian asked. "Jin Zongxu can't have been mad about him stepping in. They got exactly what they wanted."
"It wasn't that," Lan Qichen said. "Or should I say, it wasn't just that. Jin Zongju was upset that Ayao hadn't told him that Jiang Zongju and Wen Gunyang were going to announce their engagement."
Wei Wuxian blinked. "How could he have known that? We weren't even planning on that. Jiang Cheng just made a split-second decision."
"It's true," Lan Qichen said, "but that didn't matter to Jin Zongju."
"So he expects Jing Guangyao to predict the future," Wei Wuxian said, and thought this over. "Do we have to invite Jin Zongju to our wedding?"
"I'd much prefer not to, but yes," Lan Qichen said. "And I'm sure he'll attend. It will give him the chance to perhaps find out what happened to the amulet, and I'm sure Jin Furen would still like to have Jin Sichuan marry Jiang Gunyang, so keeping the relationship good between the two clans, at least as good as possible, would be important to them. Wei Wuxian nodded and sipped his tea. This question might be a bit rude, but you didn't tell Jin Guangyao how we got the amulet back, right? Much to Wei Wuxian's relief, Lan Xichen shook his head. I hold great affection for Ai Yao, he said, and I do, after all, owe him my life. But I am also well aware that he is loyal to his father. I would never ask him not to be. Being legitimized was so important to him. So I have tried to stay as neutral as possible in the conflict between the Jin and Jiang sects. I have not said anything to him. Thank you, Wei Wuxian said. But he couldn't help but wonder, did that mean that if Jin Guangyao told Lan Xichen something important, something that could help the Jiang clan, would Lan Xichen not tell them? Then he decided not to worry about it. Jin Guangyao was smart enough not to tell Lan Xichen anything like that anyway, so whether or not Lan Xichen would pass it along was irrelevant, even if the thought was deeply disturbing. They talked for about another hour before Lan Xichen had duties to attend to, and Wei Wuxian said to Lan Wangji, "Let's go see the rabbits," before grabbing him by the wrist and towing him out of the Hansha. "You know, I was thinking."
"I am aware. You never stop."
Wei Wuxian stuck his tongue out.
"About your brother and the problem of carrying on the line. If he wants children, maybe we can find him a wife who's, you know, like him. Someone who's interested in being a mother but not being a wife."
Lan Wangji's brow furrowed.
"Where would we find such a lady?"
"I don't know, but he can't be the only uninterested person out there. He is the way he is. It's not anything that happened to him to make him that way, so it must be natural. That means there are other people like that. It's just not really talked about."
Lan Wangji felt dubious about this idea. Wei Wuxian had a point, but at the same time, since nobody talked about it, how on earth would they find somebody compatible for his brother? "It's just an idea," Wei Wuxian said. "Something to keep in mind."
"I'd rather have children with Mian Mian than force my brother to marry when he doesn't wish to."
Wei Wuxian grinned widely. "I still say that's a great idea. Even if it's not Mian Mian, there are plenty of ladies out there that I'm sure would do us the favor, even if they're not part of the gentry. My father wasn't, and neither was Jin Guangyao's mother, and we're the heroes of the Sunshot campaign." He slid his hand into Lan Wangji's and said, "Then we can spend spring and summer here and fall and winter in Yunmeng, or travel back and forth frequently. Whatever we decide works. You haven't been in Yunmeng in the winter yet, have you? It's so beautiful." He rambled on while they pet the rabbits. About lotus harvesting, about Yunmeng's Lunar New Year festival, about how many children they should have and how fun it would be to raise them alongside however many children Jiang Cheng and Wen Qing had, about whatever popped into his mind. Lan Wangji listened in silence and smiled. With only a few weeks left until the wedding, Wei Wuxian's mind was so full of thoughts that Lan Wangji, as used to it as he was, found himself meditating in self-defense. Wei Wuxian absolutely could not stop obsessing over every detail, not just of the wedding, but of their future together. And while most of his thoughts were very positive, especially compared to how they had been a few months ago, it was enough to drive Lan Wangji to distraction. He spent a lot of time practicing his calligraphy, which was the only thing he could do while Wei Wuxian's mind raced in the background.
"I'm sorry if I'm annoying you,"
Wei Wuxian said after one of the many times he found Lan Wangji with a pillow over his face.
"I'm happy you're excited,"
Lan Wangji told him, and couldn't help the stray thought.
"But for the love of the heavens, I just want to sleep."
"I'll go practice my sword forms,"
Wei Wuxian told him ruefully. They had found this was a good way to focus him on something immediate and repetitive, and he no longer minded doing it now that he could use Lan Wangji's golden core. He took care not to while practicing, though, keeping Sui Bian sheathed.
The next morning, during breakfast, there was a commotion outside. Someone called out, "Jin Gongxi is arriving at the docks!" The Yunmeng siblings looked at each other in confusion. "Did Jinxi Shun tell you he was coming?" Jiang Cheng asked Jiang Yanli, and she shook her head. He got up from the breakfast table and said, "Guess I'd better greet him properly then." They took a minute to get organized inside the gates before Jinxi Shun was shown in, with a much smaller retinue than usual, only three people, two men that they had often seen in his presence, and Mian Mian. He bowed to them, and they bowed back, and said the formal greetings. And he smiled at Jiang Yanli in a way that was much more comfortable and natural than previous. "May we speak in private?" he asked, glancing around the busy courtyard. Jiang Cheng nodded and said, "Please, follow me." They went into the main house, and Jiang Yanli brought them tea, looking with concern at Jinxi Shun, who was obviously anxious about something. When he hesitated, she said quietly, "Zishuan, what is it?"
"Zishuan?"
Wei Wuxian mouthed at Jiang Yanli, who flushed pink and looked away. Jinxi Shun flushed just as pink, but said, "My father is planning to come here to seize the amulet."
"Well, that didn't take long," Wei Wuxian said with a sigh.
Lan Wangqi gave him a look, and Wei Wuxian glanced at Jinxi Shun, who was going from pink to red.
I'm sorry, Jin Gongxi. I don't mean to make light of it, and of course we appreciate very much that you came to warn us. I'm sure that was a difficult decision for you to make."
"It was," Jinxi Shun huffed out of breath. "I often disagree with my father. During the Sunshot campaign, we frequently argued over the level of support he was willing to offer the other three clans, which is why I finally went to join the front lines regardless of his wishes. When I found out he planned to launch an attack against Lotus Pier, I begged him to reconsider, but he refused. I don't understand his obsession with the amulet."
"You don't understand his obsession with power," Wen Cheng said.
Jinxi Shun looked away. Jiang Yanli reached out and gently touched his wrist.
"That's not a bad thing, Zishuan. Quite the opposite."
"How much do you know about what he's planning?" Jiang Cheng asked, his fists clenching.
"Quite a bit, actually."
Jinxi Shun looked uneasy, but continued. "After I was able to convince him to reconsider, I went to Guangyao for assistance." Lan Wangji's back stiffened, and Wei Wuxian glanced at him, but kept his voice neutral.
"You two have been getting along better?"
"Yes, much," Jinxi Shun said. "I've tried my best to make him feel more welcome in the family, although my parents have certainly made that difficult. I felt that, since he advises my father so much more closely than I do, he might know how I could convince him to abort his plans. He told me that my father is dead set on not only getting the amulet, but..." He glanced anxiously at Jiang Yanli, clearly worried about how she would react. "On killing Wei Wuxian. He's certain that it was Wei Wuxian who was responsible for taking the amulet back after we got it last time, and wants to make sure that can't happen again."
"Well, he's not wrong," Jiang Cheng sighed, frowning.
He looked over at Lan Wangji, who looked like he was about one step away from riding Beechin to Koi Tower and setting it on fire.
"Did Jin Guangyao say anything else useful?"
"Yes, he consulted with my father to find out what he intends to do," Jinxi Shun said. "He plans to attack the prison camp and use the Wen remnants as hostages."
"Of fucking course he does," Wei Wuxian said, disgusted.
Wen Qing looked at Jiang Cheng, anxious despite her best efforts not to betray that fact. He reached out and took her hand, giving it a firm squeeze.
"We won't allow any harm to come to them," he said. "On the upside, he doesn't actually know where they are, only where we told him they were. If he attacks the prison camp, we'll be ready for him."
"You..." Jinxi Shun gave a snort.
"I did wonder."
"Do you know when they'll be here?" Jiang Cheng asked.
"Not for several days. He was only just marshalling his forces when I left. My guess is that he's at least 3 days behind me."
"Okay, so we have some time. We'll need to..." While Jiang Cheng was talking about strategy and manpower, Wei Wuxian tuned him out and instead checked in with Lan Wangji, who he guessed was having similar thoughts to his own.
So, what are the odds, you think, that Jing Guangyao is actually helping his brother out and didn't immediately run and tell Jing Guangshan everything he said?
Lan Wangji replied, his thoughts a tangle of frustration and anger and even some grief over his brother's inevitable reaction.
It certainly seems likely. I don't think it's guaranteed,
Wei Wuxian said, after thinking things over for a few long moments.
I know that for Jing Guangyao, gaining his father's approval was paramount. But the key word here is was. The real question, honestly, is how long he'll try before he decides it's never going to happen. Hope doesn't actually spring eternal, like the saying goes. Hope is actually pretty easy to destroy. It's been over half a year since Jing Guangyao was legitimized. He's endured abuse after abuse, been marginalized and put down at every turn, despite an absolutely stellar track record. It's completely possible that at this point, especially on something that's going to upset both his brother, who has been reaching out to him, and your brother, who he's hopelessly pining for, he might have decided this is a bridge too far.
Maybe,
Lan Wangji replied, the skepticism in his voice nearly overwhelming the word.
I'm not saying it's a certainty,
Wei Wuxian said.
I just think we don't know either way.
So let's assume the worst,
Lan Wangji said. Wei Wuxian nodded.
Let's assume that not only does Jing Guangshan know that Jin Zixuan has warned us, but that Jin Zixuan has told us his plan. How would he counter that?
Jing Guangshan isn't stupid, but he's also not subtle,
Lan Wangji thought.
He'll know we plan to greet him with force, so he'll add more force.
Agreed,
Wei Wuxian said.
So, do we add even more force? Can we call your brother? I know he doesn't want to get involved in the feud between the Jin and the Jiang, but that was because he didn't want to upset his friendship with Jing Guangyao. Since Jing Guangyao is claiming to be on our side, then it should be fine with him, right?
Lan Wangji agreed, but said,
Do we have time, though? I could leave for Gusu right now, but I don't know that we'd be back before Jing Guangshan got here.
Wei Wuxian thought that over. Lan Wangji would likely have to push hard to get to and from Cloud Recesses in the allotted time. He hated the idea of having to face the Jin clan without him, but the reinforcements could be crucial, and they couldn't send anyone else.
I think we should chance it, but let's see what Jiang Cheng thinks.
Without mentioning their thoughts about Jing Guangyao, Wei Wuxian asked Jiang Cheng if he thought it would be worth it for Lan Wangji to go to his brother for reinforcements. Seeing that Jiang Cheng was uncomfortable with the idea, wanting to handle it on his own, he added, Not just for force, but so there's another clan here as well, you know? Like, as a witness to what he does.
That's a good idea, Jin Zixuan said. My father will be more hesitant to act rashly if another sect leader is here.
Then I will go, Lan Wangji said, standing.
Wei Wuxian stood as well, and gave him a brief kiss.
Hurry back.
Lan Wangji nodded, bowed to Jiang Cheng and Jin Zixuan, and left the room. Here's what concerns me, Wen Qing said in the silence left behind. Jin Zixuan, how far are you willing to go against your father? Jin Zixuan frowned.
What exactly do you mean?
I mean that it is obvious at this point that Jing Guangshan will not stop unless he is stopped. If Wan Yin has to kill him, will you support us as the new leader of the Lan Ling Jin? Wen Qing looked him in the eye, unflinching. Will you agree that his death was something he brought upon himself and that we were acting in our own defense? Will you support Wan Yin's marriage to me, his decision to protect my family? Can we rely on you not to bow to the pressure of other clans who will howl for our blood? Silence sat in the room. Jin Zixuan stared into his cup of tea. Wei Wuxian didn't need telepathy to know what he was thinking. He wanted to say yes. He knew his father was wrong. But it was still his father. More than that, he knew as well as all of them how complicated politics could get, how placating the other clans in the wake of such an event would be difficult. The death of Jing Guangshan would almost certainly shatter the fragile peace they had built after the Sunshot campaign. Jin Xixuan wasn't ready to handle something like that. It was unlikely any of them really were. Wei Wuxian sighed.
Are you sure?
Lan Wangji asked, already speeding away on Beechen.
No, I'm not sure at all. The idea makes me want to cry.
Wei Wuxian ignored Lan Wangji's concern and said, We have to destroy the amulet. Looks of surprise graced every person present. Wei Wuxian sighed again. I've kept it this long, even though it's caused trouble, because I needed to. I was helpless after losing my golden core. I relied on the amulet, and I was afraid to give it up. It's time for me to let it go. Jing Guangshan can't invade Yunmeng on a whim. I mean, he can, but the other sects won't tolerate that. So he's using the amulet, and my possession of it, as his excuse. If it's destroyed in front of him, he'll have to accept that and back off. Jin Xixuan was nodding. Jiang Cheng was frowning, but didn't argue. Wen Qing and Jiang Yinli exchanged a look, like they were trying to decide whether or not Wei Wuxian was really okay with this, but didn't voice an objection. Can we destroy it? Jiang Cheng finally asked. Wei Wuxian nodded. I can. Okay. Then that seems like a good plan. We just need to be ready when he gets here. Much to Wei Wuxian's relief, Lan Wangji was back before Jing Guangshan got there, along with Lan Xichen and about a dozen of the Lan cultivators. Jiang Cheng was relieved to have the extra manpower, although he clearly didn't want to be obvious about that. They had some of the cultivators stay with the Wen refugees, just in case Jing Guangshan had somehow figured out where they really were. Wen Ying argued with Wen Qing about whether or not he would be allowed on the battlefield for nearly an hour before Jiang Cheng told them that neither of them would be allowed on the battlefield. Then Wen Qing started arguing with him instead. At the end of the day, Jiang Cheng emerged victorious. Neither of them were trained in close combat. Wen Qing was a doctor, and doctors did not belong on the field. However, he softened the blow by asking them to remain at Lotus Pier, where they could protect Jiang Yinli, and they both agreed. They gathered over 100 cultivators to wait at the prison camp and dressed them in laborers' clothing so it wouldn't immediately be obvious. Jiang Cheng asked the Lan cultivators to stay back unless they were needed, so they wouldn't involve their clan unnecessarily. Hopefully we'll be able to do this without a fight, he said, although the tense set of his shoulders betrayed how unlikely he thought that was. When Jin Zongju arrives and demands the amulet, Wei Wuxian will destroy it and that will be the end of the matter. Everyone agreed, and as night fell, they took their places in the camp. Jin Xixuan had been fairly sure his father would attack at night when the prisoners were sleeping. The waiting was hard. Wei Wuxian found that he was shivering. He kept feeling the power of the yin iron pulling at him, enticing him, threatening him. He couldn't survive without it, it said. How dare he reward its service with destruction? Who did he think he was? Lan Wangji glanced at him a few times, concerned, but Wei Wuxian waved him off. There was really nothing Lan Wangji could do. He had to fight this battle on his own, just as he had before. Figures in gold began to emerge from the trees. Jiang Cheng stepped forward, his hand curling around Zhu Jian, clearly wishing he could kick the Jin sect members all the way back to Lan Ling. But he waited until Jing Guangshan came forward, his face dark with anger. Wei Wuxian glanced around for Jing Guangyao, but didn't see him anywhere. Maybe Jin Xixuan had been right, and Jing Guangyao was actually helping him. But his absence made Wei Wuxian nervous. Jin Zongju, Jiang Cheng said, his voice even, if tense. Welcome back to Yunmeng. It's an odd time for a visit, don't you think? Jing Guangshan scowled. You know very well why we're here. Yes, we do, Jiang Cheng said. You're concerned that Wei Wuxian still has possession of the Stygian Tiger amulet. We've talked about that, and my brother and I have agreed. You don't think we should have custody of it. That it's too much power for one person to control. Therefore, we've decided to destroy it.
"Destroy it?" Jing Guangshan sounded incredulous. He even laughed. "You wouldn't dare."
Wei Wuxian took a deep breath and held his hands out in front of himself. Each one had a piece of the Stygian Tiger amulet in it. Shadows coiled and drifted off the metal. Rage and pain, screaming ghosts, death, destruction. The Yin Iron was furious that Wei Wuxian sought to destroy it, that Wei Wuxian thought himself capable of destroying it, that Wei Wuxian would repay all its assistance by... He poured his resolve into it, his bitterly won control, his meager spiritual power, and his own resentful energy. And it shattered into pieces. The emptiness seized him instantly. The hollowness inside him where his core should have been, where the Yin Iron had lived for so long, and which now held nothing. But he wasn't alone. He had his friends, his family, his soulmate. He had enough. 100 fragments of Yin Iron hung in the air, suspended on the wind, crumbling, dissolving into dust, into ash, into... Somebody whistled. The Yin Iron shivered. It began to coalesce again in midair, one fragment clinging to the next, calling to a third, merging with a fourth.
"What's happening?"
Wei Wuxian wondered frantically, and from Lan Wangji he felt only panicked confusion.
"That's rude, Wei Wuxian," a voice said, and a boyish man with a charming smile stepped out from behind Jing Guangshan. "You shouldn't destroy things that don't belong to you. Did you forget that you weren't this piece of Yin Iron's original master?"
"Sui Yang."
"No!"
Wei Wuxian shouted, as all the remaining fragments suddenly shot towards Sui Yang, answering his call, reforming into one piece. He managed to grab a single fragment and tried to use it to call the others, but they wouldn't listen to him. He had rejected the Yin Iron, had voluntarily tried to destroy it, and it would no longer answer to him. The Yin Iron reformed, not into the Stygian Tiger Seal, but into the Sword of Xuan Wu, the brutal, unsophisticated form that Sui Yang had carried it as. He pointed it at Wei Wuxian with a smirk and said, "Let me remind you."
"Where the fuck did he even come from?"
Wei Wuxian was internally screaming, despite himself. From Lan Wangji, he felt a surge of horrified realization that nearly knocked him flat, remembering that Nia Mingtui had accused Meng Yao of releasing Sui Yang from the unclean realm.
"Fuck, have they had him in their back pocket this whole fucking time?"
All this conversation took place in a split second, as Sui Yang charged into the battlefield like a deadly streak of lightning. He wasn't deft, but he didn't need to be. Within the first few seconds, he had wounded a handful of Jiang cultivators, and that was all he needed. The Yin Iron poisoned them, forced them to obey, turned them against their friends. Wei Wuxian had a sudden, vivid memory of the massacre of the Qiang clan, of the bodies and blood everywhere, the way Sui Yang had puppeted them all into killing each other. The brilliant sound of the Guqin rang out, and Sui Yang was flung back, landing hard in the dirt. Purple lightning flashed on the other side of him. Wei Wuxian drew Sui Bian, and for the first time since he had lost his golden core, prepared to fight. It was just like Nightless City. The puppets kept getting up and getting up and getting up. Those they killed didn't stay dead, but joined their ranks. It only took a few minutes for Sui Yang and his piece of Yin Iron to reduce the dozens of cultivators to only a handful. Wei Wuxian stood with his back against Jiang Cheng's and felt despair creep up onto him as he watched the Jiang sect be destroyed for the second time.
"That's enough," Jing Guangshan suddenly called out.
Sui Yang glanced at him, and the puppet stopped moving and collapsed to the ground. Jing Guangshan looked at the few people who remained standing and smirked.
"So," he said, "shall we discuss terms?"